Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Fan Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how we doing?
Doing well, Mike. Tuesday, back at it again, episode 47. A lot to get into, a lot to discuss. Super Wild Card weekend, coaching changes in the NFL, a dynamite performance last night in the national championship game. And so much to talk about. So let's get started. I know you wanted to touch on Super Wild Card weekend, so why don't you kick things off there?
Yeah, I mean, it lived up to its billing.
Super that it did. Card
weekend. So you know, for the first time ever, you know, six games going at it. Seven seeds from each conference. And you know, there were some great games. It started off, you know, really, really interesting with the Bills and the Colts and a dog fight.
Pretty much.
And Phillip Rivers, you know, he still can play the game, but a lot of miscues in the coaching and the managing ended up costing the Colts a victory, because I really think that they should have won it if it wasn't for those miscues, you know, not kicking a field goal when you have the momentum and giving it back. I mean, it was very close to getting that touchdown, but hey, what are they saying? Fast and the Furious doesn't win matter if you win by an inch or a mile.
Winning's winning.
It's winning. So the Bills were victorious. So as the second seed, you know, they're going to go up against that lowest seed, which the middle seed, which happens to be, everyone thought it was going to be the Steelers. Everyone thought the Steelers were going to beat the Browns, you know, handily. And that's not what played out. So, you know, I mean, it started out 14 seconds into the game. Center, you know, snaps it over Roethlisberger's head. How do you miss Big Ben? I mean, the guy is such a big target. 6'6",
man. How do you snap it over his head, man?
So, I mean, you know, obviously it wasn't in the cards for them. You know, no more TikTok dancing for the rest of the playoffs.
Or Juju,
You know, I mean, Chase Claypool after the game, you know, the day after says that, you know, the Browns are going to get clapped, I think his words were, after he, you know, come on. You guys lost. Like, don't talk crap about the opponent that actually beat you. He may be right. I mean, they are playing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, so he might have some, you know, something to stand on, but really he shouldn't be the one saying it, because he's the one that got clapped. You know, him and his team. So, you know, that was a big upset, but the, you know, the Steelers did put up a fight at the end. You know, it was 35-0 quick, but what was the final score? Like
48-37.
Yeah. So like, you know, it got a little dicey there for a second. You want to hit off a couple other games,
Rick? Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about the Rams and the Seahawks. This was an interesting game. You and I, you know, we spoke about it last week. We thought, you know, the Rams lost to the Jets. How could they come into Seattle and win that game? And here come the Rams. What's the kid's name who got knocked out? Wolford,
yep.
Jamal Adams comes in and basically kills the guy, sends him to the hospital. Probably a broken neck. Who knows what's wrong with him? And then here comes Jared Goff with literally four fingers on his throwing hand, comes in, stabilizes the offense, and they somehow pull off an upset off a team that was, I mean, the Rams are right for the picking right there. I don't know how they lost that game. And, you know, and it's one thing, you know, Seattle's defense was iffy all year. Jamal Adams can't cover anybody, and they gave up 30 points. And kudos to Jared Goff coming in and playing with that broken thumb. Unbelievable performance by him. An unbelievable performance of that defense. Now, obviously, Aaron Donald's hurt. I think they're giving him an MRI on his ribs. But that was just an incredible performance by the Rams and that team. So they're moving on. Obviously, the game of Saturday night, Tampa at the Washington football team. Listen, you know, I told you it was going to be a competitive game. This guy, Heinicke.
We ended up pushing.
But this kid, Heinicke, separates his shoulder. I believe it's at the end of the third quarter and plays with a separated shoulder and leads him to a victory.
The whole fourth quarter, you know, playing with a separated AC shoulder in his non-throwing shoulder, obviously, right. You know.
But at the end of the day, Tom Brady and that experience, I mean, they just overwhelmed them, and they were the better team. So kudos to them. And then Sunday's matchups, that Baltimore-Tennessee game was just straight smash mouth football. I mean, they were just going back and forth. And then, Baltimore sort of taking over late. And then after the game, nobody shaking hands and, people Lamar dancing Jackson on.
Running away.
Yeah. People dancing on logos in the center, in the center of the field. So it was good. It was good to have that combat. And then you had Chicago at New Orleans, and Mitchell Trubisky is just brutal. I mean, that was a tough game to watch, man. That, it really was. And Drew Brees, I think it's time for him to call it quits. You can just see that he was laboring a bit out there. He's just older, and I just think it's time that they move on from him. But they'll be moving on next week. And then, of course, that Sunday night game that literally was over before it started. I mean, it was 21-0. And it was like a heavyweight boxing fight, and the Steelers got hit and didn't get up. I mean, it was over that quick. Ben throwing four picks that game. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was more shocking than everything else. Like, people were just stunned. Like, how are these guys down 21-0 already? Like, I mean, it was over before it started. So it was an incredible weekend, incredible games. And so now we're looking forward to next week, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to that Bills-Browns game. I think the Bills are going to win that game. I'm looking forward also to the Baltimore. I mean, is Cleveland Bills, playing the Bills Ravens, right? And then Cleveland's playing the Chiefs. So the Chiefs coming off that bye, and then the Bills Ravens is going to be interesting, man. The question is, can Buffalo beat this team? We'll wait and see. And then the NFC,
what's that? A tough one.
Yeah, and then in the NFC. In the NFC with I want to see how Jared Goff pulls this one off with four fingers on it. So great weekend of football, and divisional round coming up next week is really going to be a lot of fun. So good stuff to look forward to next weekend for the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate all the kind words, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, people. Oh, and I have to give a shout out to a new fan. Oh, we got a new fan out there, Long Island, watching. So shout out to them.
Welcome to everyone that's joining us for the first time. I like the Bills' chances. They're gonna have to, if they can get through Lamar, I think they can get through what most likely will be Mahomes. Because they match up better against the Chiefs than they do against the Ravens, because the Ravens are smash mouth and they got all that, all that rushing ability. And that's how you doing, Nathan?
Thanks for joining us tonight.
It's going to be a tough task to stop Lamar Jackson. He's got that first playoff win under his belt. So, all those jitters are gone. Now he could just, sit there and just try and take care of business. And he has been better since the midpoint of the season. And, he's pretty much been off and running, no pun intended. He's definitely going to put up some rushing yards in this game. And the Bills, the Bills did lose a running back in Zach Moss. They did sign Devontae Freeman today to the practice squad. So little reserves coming in to help them out with the Zach Moss injury. Yeah. I don't see Goff beating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Mr. Rodgers, I think he's going to put on a performance next week.
I can't see that. And, Brees and Brady, that's going to be a fun game to watch, to say the least, but I don't know if the Saints could take 3 out of 3 in the season. Think the Bucs are playing a little bit better. The Saints aren't, firing on all cylinders, but we will, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see how it plays out. But most definitely, I think, Brees is done after this year.
It's going to be some good games. Good games this weekend.
We could certainly touch on a little bit more after our guest right now joining us. He is one of the hosts of Locked In Sports Podcast. And his name is Samuel Rodriguez, joining us right now. Sammy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Doing good, great. Sam. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I've been watching. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, I know. You know, we had a couple of shows booked in advance. So, you know, it's anybody wants to come on, email us fanexperience@playingthefield.io, and we'll coordinate that. But you know, your links are all in our bios and everything. So Sam, you know, tell us a little bit about how you got it started for like a love of sports. You know, what teams are your favorites and how that came about.
So I was big on basketball growing up. I'm a big LeBron James guy. I know it's going to give me a lot of hate, but it is what it is at this point. So watching him growing everywhere, you know, it just kind of made me love basketball more. And I've always been like a football guy. I'm a Broncos fan. So right now we're not doing as well. So sticking on that wagon, hoping we can get it going somehow. But throughout sports kind of like helped me find my passion, like what I want to do in life. That's why I'm going like sports journalism route. And we ended up starting Locked In Sports. In January during the pandemic, me and Megan went to school together, and it was something to do where we could do from our house as well. And I figured all the athletes and everyone's like on break as well, so might as well start at this point. And it's just been going up from there.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, the pandemic, I mean, we started it during the pandemic too. And, yeah. And it's fun. Like, you know, obviously you went into school for broadcasting and journalism, so you always wanted to do it, but you know, Talk to us about starting, you know, the podcast and like, you know, how much fun it is and, you know, how much, you know, work it takes and stuff like that.
So getting on the podcast, it was kind of like Megan said, oh, I need a co-host one day. I was like, all right, I'd love to do it with you. And we really didn't talk about it much for like 2 weeks after that. Then randomly she's like, hey, I got the studio booked for today. Can you come in? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it. We had our first studio day. Like, all right, this is going to be great. And then the next day, everything shut down. I was like, okay, what do we do? We had our first studio and everything else just shut down. So I was like, okay, what do we do? So we ended up finding about StreamYard and all that. And we started off with Zoom links, like recording Zoom videos, having our guests come on, and then having to edit it out and such. And that ended up taking like a lot of work, like editing out. We had to take out like hour clips, like put in little intros and all that stuff. And then we ended up starting to use Facebook Live. That's where our audience grew more. And so StreamYard's been like a big piece of that. But overall, it's been like a great time doing it. It's really fun. I suggest anyone that wants to start a podcast, go and do it. It's a great time. And you were talking about sports. I mean, it can't get better than that. You're just debating sports all day.
Yeah, that's – go ahead. I was going to say, yeah, that's awesome. And first of all, you're born in a military family, so thank your father for his service.
Of course.
You know, and thanks for coming on tonight. So, I mean, we've had – it's funny. We've had Broncos fans. We've had Miami fans. You know, when did you all of a sudden say the Broncos are my team? Like, what was the, you know, seminal moment? Like, when did you start following Denver on the football side?
So once Tebow beat the Steelers in that playoff game, I was like, all right, starting. And then Peyton Manning came along and I was like, all right, here we go. We got something brewing. Then Wes Welker came along and everyone started showing out. Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas. And then we had one of the best defenses in the league. And I've always been a big Champ Bailey guy. He was one of my favorites ever, one of the best to ever do it.
Yep.
And so Peyton started going off, like record breaking. I was like, all right, great. This is phenomenal. But ever since that Tebow game, that's what really got me hooked on the Broncos.
So what that was a playoff game where Tebow hits Demaryius Thomas in the OT for the touchdown. Where that one of the all time. And then what happens later? They trade him to the Jets, but we won't get into that. But Adam Gase was the coordinator, I think, of that team, right? I think he was the OC, but. And then you're a big LeBron guy. You know, obviously we're a little older, so I'm a Jordan guy. What is it about LeBron James that made you say, you know, this is the guy I want to follow? I mean, tell us about that.
So watching him play, just watching him be the most dominant person in the league for year after year, and coming straight out of high school and providing, like, people didn't know if he was going to play top level like he did in high school. And he came in straight, carried some Cavs teams to some finals, like that 08 team, Anderson Varejao and all them, Big Z.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tough team to carry.
Yeah.
And like his MVPs, he just goes on and on. Like, that man's like 36 now and he's not slowing down anytime. And then I saw everything he does off the court, like building the I Promise School and all that stuff. He's like a down to earth man. You see him outside of basketball. So overall, like, everything kind of figured in together, and just watching him dominate all the time. It doesn't get old to watch, I think. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously he's, you know, he's got tremendous talent. He works extremely hard.
Yeah,
you know,
that guy's and a worker, that, man. He works hard.
Yeah, he doesn't take anything for granted. This guy is, you know, the work ethic is amazing, and the stuff that he does to give back to the community, you know, it's absolutely admirable. So you can't really hate the guy, you know. Yeah. You definitely respect what he does, what he can do. But yeah, like Rick said, like we grew up in the Jordan era, yeah. And it's you know, it's a lot different. And then the era like right before you is that Kobe era, which, you know, unfortunately in a couple of weeks is 1 year.
Yeah, time flies.
It's crazy to say. So, you know, obviously rest in peace, Kobe. So talk to last week our guest came on and he says that he thinks that the Lakers are going to three-peat. So being a big LeBron fan, you know, what are your takes on this NBA season?
So I love LeBron, love Lakers. I don't know about a three-peat. The Nuggets kind of scare me over there. They're up-and-coming team. That young talent's finally meshing together, and it's looking like very serious now. But I can see a repeat this year. The Lakers are looking great. Adding Dennis Schroeder was a huge adjustment. Defensive-wise, they lost them, but I think the offense they gained kind of helped out more. Like replacing Danny Green with Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol adding in there. I feel like they are a better team than last year. Mm-hmm. It's just so many other teams got better as well. The league this year, I feel like there's so many teams that can do it. The Suns look amazing. The Nuggets, like I said, look amazing. It's like different teams that are showing out this year. Even in the East, you have the Magic showing out, the Knicks. No one really expected this.
Well, he just dropped a Knicks bomb right there. Yeah. Wow.
We've lost three in a row, but that's okay. Young team, can't shoot right now. It's okay.
But if you have Knicks and amazing in the same sentence, you got to feel happy about that.
Yeah.
It's just no one expected them to even do this good right now. That's what I'm like getting at. Like, yeah. No one really expect the Knicks to be as they are. Like most of us, we'd expect them to be like 0-9, 1-8, you know. But every team in the league right now is looking good. It's just a matter of who pushes through. And with COVID, we've seen Tatum's out for 14 days. We got to see how that's going to affect teams' records and all that. So they might switch to a bubble towards the end of the season. I could see that happening, like eliminating the certain teams that might not make it. But every team's looking like a threat right now. And the Nets, if Kyrie comes back, that's a scary team, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we hope that they can get through the NBA season without a hitch. And NHL starts tomorrow, so we're hoping that can go off without a hitch. Yeah. MLB said today that, you know, plan on a 162-game season. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But we all certainly hope for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that there's no doubt about it. I mean, some people don't want 162 MLB games and some people want less, but regardless. So what is your prediction for NBA finals? You like the Nuggets in the West, and then who do you like in the East?
So this season, I'm still sticking with the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
So I have Lakers in the finals this season in the West. In the East, I honestly have the Celtics. The way they're playing right now, I'm not a big Celtics guy, even in Massachusetts. You know, I get a lot of hate for that.
Celtic pride, man. Come on.
But Jaylen Brown's showing he can be that guy over there. He's showing out. And Tatum's gone for a couple games, but them two together is looking pretty scary. And then Kemba, once he comes back, I feel like they added depth with Jeff Teague in them. Tristan Thompson's a great rebounder. That's what they needed. So they're looking pretty serious with it. It's just a matter of if they can close games out. That's been their problem for the past couple of years. But if they can close games out, I see them getting to the finals over there in the East.
Nice. Sam, talk to us about what's going on with the Nets. Kyrie Irving is just – he is one of the most interesting athletes, I think, of our time right now. He's had these issues with Boston. He wanted to stay. Then he leaves. He wanted to leave LeBron because he wasn't getting his due. Comes to the Nets. Kyrie, great. I have someone who can shoot. Then he goes AWOL for a week. Doesn't want to talk to the media. Like, what's going on over there? Like, is he having, like, just like a breakdown? I mean, what's happening with him?
Kyrie probably won't finish his career before he hits his prime. The way he's going right now is looking like he doesn't care. Really, he was burning the sage around the arena. I feel like he's going around like playing games. And he's like, oh, I just don't want to play today. It's looking like he's not, his passion for the game is not there anymore. I mean, he has one of the best teams in the East that should easily carry him to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's still like, all right, I don't want to play. It's kind of selfish in an aspect. You see James Harden over there demanding a trade, but still playing every game, averaging like 40 points.
Right.
So the difference between them two is like ridiculous. And Kyrie wanted that team. He wanted Kevin Durant over there. He got the team he wanted, but it looks like he's not in the right headspace at all. Like you said, Celtics, he wanted to stay there. He leaves. He didn't play great at all. He couldn't lead his own team. LeBron, he wanted to leave that team because he wanted to lead a team. But he's not built for that yet. His mental strength's not there for the game, I don't think. He's just not ready.
Yeah, and if you're Kevin Durant, I mean, you came over because of Kyrie. Yep. You leave Steph Curry. You leave stability, Steve Kerr, three titles. I mean, what does he got to be thinking? Like, he must be like going like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, Kyrie's the main reason Kevin Durant went over there.
Yeah, he didn't come to the Knicks because of him.
Exactly. And he's over there now. He's probably like, what's going on? Like, I gave up a championship team for this. Like, they have right now, without Kyrie, I don't think they can get out of the East because there's so many good teams in the East right now. You need both of them playing top performance. So he's probably frustrated and all, I'd assume. And they're close friends too, so I don't know what's going on. If they're talking back and forth, if he's like, all right, I need you to come back, like, what's going on? Or if he's okay with it. But I'm sure he's not happy with that all right now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, and, you know, I mean, it's still early in the season, so let's see, you know, maybe, maybe it'll change, you know, when it gets a little later and he gets a little bit more motivated.
Yeah.
Let's see. So are you living in Massachusetts now?
Yeah, I'm living in Massachusetts.
Everyone must hate you. You're a Broncos fan. You're you're a LeBron fan. You're a Yankees fan.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
Hey, so talk to us about some of the abuse you get over there.
So, yeah, I go through it all the time. Middle school, I went through it. High school, I went through it because I've always been a big Yankees fan. People call me a bandwagon and everything. But yeah. My grandfather owns an apartment building right behind Yankee Stadium. So we used
right
to go to
Jerome Avenue over there. All right.
We'd watch the games on top of his apartment. Like from the roof of it, because we didn't have to pay to get in the game, so we could like see it from his roof. So ever since I've been young, my whole family's been Yankees fans because they grew up in the Bronx.
Nice.
So over here, trying to explain that to Boston fans is kind of hard. It's like, no, no, you don't live there. You're fine. You're Red Sox. Just be a Patriots fan. Like, no, sorry, I can't do it. And the LeBron thing tops it off. People over here hate LeBron, so it doesn't work out well.
That's, you know, that must be interesting, but yeah. You know, you gotta stay true to your team. So I know you have a girlfriend. How about her? Like, what is she a fan of?
So she likes Boston teams, usually Red Sox, not a big football person, loves Celtics. So I gotta like start getting into more Boston teams, you know, supporting them a little bit.
No. You stay true, man. You stay true. Don't flip flop. Rick, you can take that one.
Oh, yeah. So you're into sports journalism. You're going to school for sports journalism. When did you know that that's kind of like where you wanted to go to? Because that's a tough field to break into.
Yeah. So honestly, my dad, his friend works for the Rams. He's like the main communications guy for the Rams. And we had a phone call one day because I was interested. I was in communications. That's my associate's degree. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, what am I going to do with this? I knew I wanted to do sports overall, no matter what I did, like sports marketing, sports management, something. And he talked to me about it, and it really pushed me over. I was like, all right, this sounds like a great field. Like, I have people I can get into. And then UMass Amherst, they're Division I. So I was like, all right, that's probably best bet, like interview the basketball players, football, and all that. And then LinkedIn's been a big tool, like that helped me push out. I've been talking to people, I've been hearing all different stories from broadcasters, journalists, and that just made me want to like pursue this field more often.
So do you want to broadcast games? Do you want to be a writer? I mean, do you want to be like, let's say, independent and just do podcasts? Like, where do you want to? What avenue do you want to go down? What road do you want to go down?
So honestly, I'm trying to keep my field open, like learning little bits of everything. Like learning how to write. We started a website, like writing articles weekly, podcast still, and then also broadcasting. So like a little bit of everything. So I'm more versatile. So it's not just one field I'm stuck in.
Yeah.
More so that if they need something to write instead of broadcasting, I can go write. If they need someone to broadcast, I can go do that.
Mm-hmm. So you guys call games and you'll do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we're at UMass Amherst right now. We're in contact with the people and they're getting us hooked up to all the games over there and such.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And you know, so you you're you're there. What are you there until 2022, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned LinkedIn, you know, it's just amazing. You know, how many connections and, you know, how just, you know, it just like builds you up too. Like, you know, just watching, you know, success pretty much breed success. Have you had any guests on your podcast?
So we have had a lot of guests right now. We've had NBA coach Scott Fields. He coached Steph Curry. We had a UFC fighter, Jorgen DeCastro. He's a native of Fall River, Massachusetts. So that kind of helped us out.
Awesome.
We had some basketball coaches from BCC, the community college I went to.
Nice.
And right now we're in a contract with the Creating Young Minds League and Undiscover League in Texas. So we cover their games and such. We interview their basketball players. And last week we had an NBA player, a retired NBA player, CJ Carter from the Knicks.
Okay. That's awesome. That's
so LinkedIn's been like helping out, like gaining contacts with all these people.
Now, you said you partner with the Creative Young Minds. You know, is that through school or is that through something, you know, networking through LinkedIn?
So that was networking through LinkedIn. They messaged me and they said they'd seen a couple of our shows. They wanted to get in contact. So we had a phone call one day and they told me, like, oh, we're looking for people to like help expand our business, like help expand our league and such. And so we cover their games, we watch their games, and we basically do like a recap and such.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is incredible. So it seems like you like calling the games, the broadcasting games. Is there one particular major event out there that you would love to call? If you had the opportunity to pick one, which one would you like doing?
I honestly say any LeBron game, you know?
Yeah.
Get out there before he goes. I feel like that'd be amazing. I don't know how reasonable it is. He's getting up there in age, and now I'm still trying to work my way up, but that'd probably be the goal. And any LeBron game, even a preseason game.
Yeah, no, LeBron's an incredible athlete. Have you had a chance to ever see him play in real life? I mean, up close and personal?
Yeah.
Well, in COVID, not many people can.
Yeah.
I saw when he first went back to the Cavs at Kevin Love and Kyrie, I saw him at a Boston Celtics game.
Okay.
He dropped 45 that game, and I was like, wow, that's like, all right, this is the guy. Like, I got to support this man throughout.
Was that the playoff game? The game 6?
No, it was during the season. It was for my birthday, actually. So it was a December game we got to go watch.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Obviously, I have not been to a basketball game since I only went to one Knicks game actually in my life. And it was the day anyone ever watched the movie Forget Paris with Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal
when he was a referee.
Meg Ryan, I think it was, or something like that.
No, not Meg Ryan. It was
oh,
I think it was like Deborah Winger or something like
that.
Yeah,
so I know you're
talking. But he was like a referee. I went to the game where they were filming that half court scene that was in the movie, and we had to wait like an hour before we could even get seated. So, I mean, I only went to one basketball game in my life, but that was the one that I went to. I definitely need to go to more because, you know, especially, you know, things like, you know, LeBron and Kobe just always putting up crazy points. And you know what? You know, that's just the league that we're in. Everyone has a shot at, you know, seeing a 50 point game, you know, no matter who it is, you know, and with the Knicks playing the way they are, maybe one of them will to put one up.
Yep.
You know, we'll never know. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So you know, talk to us a little bit about like, you know, what kind of advice would you give somebody that is interested in broadcasting and journalism? Like what's the number one tip that you would give them as far as, you know, starting a podcast or whatnot?
So honestly, you just have to do it. I know it sounds cliche and such, but if you're going to do a podcast, just set it up, do it. People enjoy watching this stuff. It's great content. So if you're going to keep going, push through it. Don't say I want to do it and not go to do it. Just set it up. And then connections, LinkedIn, set up your LinkedIn. That's where you meet most of your people. Even if it's a bunch of other people in the same trying to get where you are, you can help each other out, listen to each other's stories, maybe guest on each other's shows and everything. So basically connecting and just like doing it. You just got to go for it. You can't really like, question yourself. You just got to go for it.
Yeah. And anyone out there that is interested in it, you know, please contact me. You know, I'd be happy to, you know, give you tips. And I'm sure Sam will, you know, will do the same. You know, I know, you know, there was this, you know, one kid starting out. He's still in high school and he wanted to start a podcast. And, you know, I told him, you know, this is where you go to, you know, to host it, you know, try and go here, here, and here. And he's doing great. He's already a couple episodes in, and I'm going to be on his show next month. So we have somebody commenting here. He wants your comments on the Raptors.
Somebody you might know.
Yeah, probably. Do you know him?
I don't.
Okay. Well, pleasure to have you on and watching, Mitch.
I don't know what the Raptors. This season, they're just not it. They lost. Losing Marcus Hall was a big hit. Losing Serge Ibaka was a big hit. We see Pascal missing the past two game winner shots with the same exact shot. I mean, he needs to step up. He needs to, like, prove he's that guy. That whole team's not playing well right now together. Their defensive half is gone. They all just need to learn how to merge together. I feel like losing Serge and Marcus Hall was probably the biggest hit they took.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you talk about LeBron James. He's one of your favorite players, obviously. Like I said, we grew up in the Jordan era. But let me ask you this about LeBron.
Yeah.
You say he's not going to get the three-peat. He's been to 10 NBA finals, I believe. He's won four of them.
Yeah.
If he doesn't catch Jordan, is he in your eyes, is he the GOAT?
Honestly, yeah.
Wow.
People give me a lot of hate for that.
Okay.
I like to talk about the competition. When he played the Kevin Durant Warriors, he played the Warriors in general. And a lot of teams he's brought to the final, like that 08 Cavs, they shouldn't have been there. They really shouldn't have been there.
Mm.
Like, he does have the Cavs team. Like, with that 3-1 comeback, that was probably the greatest finals of all time, in my opinion. No one's ever done that. I still think he's the GOAT. I see him catching Wilt in number, points. He's getting up there. Like, his stats are all better. But, again, the 6-0 in the finals does put up a great argument. It does hurt. But also, Michael had Scottie Pippen and all them throughout his whole time. So, it's like, it's a back and forth. I feel like there's no right answer. It's going to go on.
It's a fair answer.
If LeBron gets the 6 rings, then it's like, okay, let's get off it. But if he's not there, it's going to go on forever, that debate.
Yeah. See, I'm a believer. Obviously, I still think Jordan, but it's close, man. I mean, because the guy's been to 10 NBA finals. He's going to lead the league. He's going to lead the league in stats with points, assists, rebounds, what have you. But here's the thing. He should have lost to the Spurs in that finals where Ray Allen hits that three. Mm-hmm. He should have lost to the Warriors if Draymond doesn't lose his mind. And if he's that dominant a player, Jordan dominated his era, right? He beat Karl Malone, beat Patrick Ewing, Isaiah Thomas. He eventually beat them and the Celtics and all that. Charles Barkley at that time. But LeBron's had this thing where he's lost to some of Steph Curry should have won 4 titles already, right? So, you know, and you can. I'm not going to say Steph Curry's in his league. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. That's up for debate. But I just think that, you know, Jordan is still, you know, up there. He's in that class. But I mean, listen, 10 NBA finals appearances. I mean, that's nothing to joke about. So, you know, that's where I stand on that. But I think they win it this year, but I'm with you. I think somebody like Denver and the West is eventually going to catch them.
Yeah.
Out there. But tell me about the Clippers. What's up with Kawhi? What's going on over there? I mean, that's kind of a mess over there. No.
Well, as soon as Kawhi signed with that team and Paul George went over there, I knew it would never work. That team, they have no chemistry whatsoever. Kawhi is like the heart and soul of the team, as we saw in their 50-point blowout when he wasn't there to the Mavericks. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Paul George, I don't know if we can trust him in clutch moments, as we saw in the playoffs. Yeah. That bubble format showed who could play basketball and who couldn't, because there was no fans. It was like just YMCA gym basketball. You like just play. No extra help from no one, nothing. No, like, I'm trying to say the fan experience, like everyone screaming at them, like no cheer, nothing. It was just straight up basketball, and he choked it out. I feel like he got his payday. He's kind of like, all right, whatever. And Kawhi, the whole, I'm not coming to practice this day. I would need a house in San Diego. Like, you've seen, they don't work together. That whole team doesn't work together. I feel like the people lower them. Patrick Beverley spoke on how he doesn't like how Kawhi gets special treatment. I feel like Lou Will and all them, the whole team sees that, and that chemistry is not going to form unless Kawhi comes up to them and like apologizes for that and like goes and joins in on team activities.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Yeah, I mean, you can't build a winning team like that. No. You know, obviously, everyone has to be on the same page. Nobody could be working for themselves. You know, it's a team sport. Unfortunately, you have to work as a team. So,
yeah.
So let's change gears. You know, talk a little bit about football. Obviously, you know, football playoffs and whatnot. But since we were on the LeBron Jordan debate, let's go with you know, one of your quarterbacks,
yeah.
Peyton versus one of the quarterbacks that you do not like because you're in Boston or you're in Massachusetts, yet you still don't like him. So who's the GOAT, Peyton or Tom Brady?
I knew it was coming. I hate to admit this. I do put Brady a little bit above Peyton Manning just because of the success he's had in the Super Bowls. He's had great teammates, yeah. Yes, but him and Belichick, that was one of the most unstoppable pairs we've ever seen. Yeah. The greatest coach of all time and probably the greatest quarterback. Like, I love Peyton Manning. He has the stats and everything, but he did playoff form. He didn't really show up. We saw that Super Bowl against the Panthers. It wasn't him that won it. He shouldn't have even been starting in that game, I think. Brock Osweiler should have been starting still.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Tom Brady, yeah, he carried them there. Peyton was hurt, and he really didn't show out. But Tom Brady's – like, we see the age he's at now. He's still performing. It's kind of scary, honestly, that he's still doing the things he's doing at this age. But I have to put him a little bit above it, as much as it pains me to say it. Megan's probably going to – I'm going to hear an earful from her tomorrow.
So, Megan, he's just giving his opinion. That's part of it. That's so, part of the package.
So let me get this straight. The GOAT in football is going to Brady because he's more successful in finals and championship games. But LeBron and Jordan, obviously Jordan's the one that's more successful. LeBron's less successful, but has more of the, you know, seasonal accolades than, you know, more than Jordan has. So why the split there?
LeBron has the playoff stats too. It's just the finals record. LeBron
doesn't have the rings though.
Yeah, but still the finals record, that's what I'm saying. Peyton's playoff performance, like his accolades, aren't really there. He has the two rings, yes. But Tom Brady's stats are all way better in the finals. LeBron's stats in the playoffs are probably the best we've ever seen. Maybe being this 10 straight finals and such, that's ridiculous. So that's the only thing that holds it above there. The straight finals, the dominating the East for that many years with different teams. Like, it wasn't just one team. It was all different teams. So that's the only difference for me right there.
All right. Okay. I'll give it to you. Yo, NFL playoffs, obviously Tom Brady's still in there. You know, what is your prediction on, you know, who makes it the rest of the way and who ends up playing in Tampa at Super Bowl 55?
So I'm going to have some hate for this. I've been hearing it. I have Drew Brees and the Saints making it. I feel like last year, if he wins, he's going to retire.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he does come back to peak form, last week he was all right. He wasn't amazing. He was okay. But if he comes out and shows out, Alvin Kamara shows out, they will beat the Bucs because I don't really trust the Bucs right now. As we saw last week, Washington football team, that was a really good game that, honestly, yeah. I had Washington winning in an upset. I didn't expect the quarterback to come out and play that way. He played ridiculous. It was amazing. And they put up a fight because Tampa Bay's defense doesn't seem it right now. They really don't seem it right now. And then I have Pat Mahomes coming out because, I mean, it's Pat Mahomes. Probably he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks ever. He's going to dominate the league for years. He has his passing is ridiculous. You see all the trick plays he does and no-look plays. And that team, I feel like the chemistry is built. Like that team, they know each other's ins and outs. And that defense is all right, but it's good enough to get them to where they need to be.
Okay. All right. So quick. So obviously you think the Saints are going to beat the Bucs this weekend.
Yep.
And you think the Chiefs are going to beat the Browns. I mean, I could agree with you on that. Bills, Ravens, who you got?
I got the Bills. I don't trust Lamar. His throwing is not there. Josh Allen's playing phenomenally. That Bills team, offensively and defensively, they're playing great. The Ravens are kind of sketchy.
And you got the Saints playing the Packers in the championship game?
Yep.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I have Packers and Chiefs or Packers and Bills. Like, those are, you know, I'm split between the two.
Yeah.
If the Bills lose this week, then it's going to be Packers-Chiefs. But if the Bills can make it through this week, I think the Bills can make it all the way.
They have the chance. They're playing phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick.
So Sam, take us back to you. So you're doing the podcast. You're doing some writing on the website. Where do you want to take this? Like, where are you looking to break into professional broadcasting? Like, where do you see yourself in the next 5-10 years in the world of sports?
So I am looking to break into professional broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been talking to people, and working for yourself is a whole nother benefit, especially if you can get the passings of the games.
Yeah.
So me and Megan are trying to build up the Locked In Sports Media Group and kind of make it our own thing. Maybe sign some contracts like we are in, you know, kind of branch that out. But of course, if I get an opportunity from a big company, I have to take it. But right now, working for ourselves, see what happens, building our resume more and more to be able to share it out, and then get our own passes and stuff, go to games, like get our own media passes.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Listen, working for yourself, I mean, it's a struggle, but it's the best thing. Trust me. Yeah. Take it from two guys who are trying to get out there. So where can people find you? Like, if they want to look for your podcast, they want to see your website, where can people go to find you?
So we do live podcasts every Monday morning at 12 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook under Locked In Sports. Okay. And then we have a YouTube page, Locked In Sports, as well. And then our website is actually a Wix. I can drop the link after. We don't have our own domain yet. Got it. It's basically wix.lockedin.com.
Yeah, and Instagram as well, right? And
yep.
Because I follow you guys on Instagram. So
at Locked In Sports,
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, we're trying to go the same route. Like, we're trying to get those media credentials too. You know, me and Rick want to go to the Super Bowl in 2020. 2022 at SoFi. So, you know, maybe we'll all go and we can all hang out. Are you old enough to drink yet? Or
I turned 21 this last year.
There we go. So we'll go grab a drink. You know, we'll all go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I appreciate you coming on, Sam, you know, definitely. And, you know, wish you the best of luck with everything, you know, Locked In Sports and everything you guys got going on. You know, send our best to, you know, Megan as well. Hope she's watching. And, you know, we'd love to have you on, you know, some other time. We'd love to come on your show if you'll have us as well. But, you know, for sure, you know, good luck with everything.
Of course. Thanks. We'd love to have you guys on the show. That'd be great.
Perfect. Yeah.
Let's talk about some Jordan LeBron debate. I'm down.
Yeah.
Down. Thank you guys again for being on, though. It means a lot.
Oh, no. Sam, no worries. Anytime, man. You got a home here. Anytime.
Right, thank you, guys.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Bye.
All right. There you have Sam Rodriguez. He's up and coming, that kid, folks. Check him out on his.
Yeah, he's young. And he's determined.
And he's hungry.
He's driven. He's hungry. That's it. That's all you need.
All you need.
Thank you very much for tuning in, Mitch. It means a lot.
Thanks, Mitch.
So, hockey starts tomorrow.
That's right. The NHL crazy. Begins. The Rangers and Lafreniere. I got my Ranger hat on right there.
You do. You got your Rangers hat on. You know, let's see. Maybe the Islanders can... pick up where they left off and, you know, play some strong hockey. But we will bring on our...
Are we having our resident hockey expert on tonight? Is that what we're having?
Yes.
There he is.
That's what I was going to bill him as well.
Yeah.
I have a resident hockey expert. You saw him last week. He helped us with making some picks. His name is Tanner Johnson. Welcome back, Tanner.
Hey, thank you guys. Love the new title too. I definitely could live with that one.
the resident NHL expert. Come on.
NHL expert, man.
I love it.
So talk to us about Mike. Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, the return of hockey. You know, obviously it's starting at a different time this time around, you know, because it ended.
I think Mike froze there.
I think so too. I think we lost them.
Yeah, I think we lost them.
But
let's get into it because, you know, obviously hockey's opening, starting up again. So for our fans out there who are big hockey fans, obviously, I'm wearing my Ranger hat. So break it down for us. What does the NHL fan have to look forward this season and who to look out for?
Yeah, well, honestly, so first things first, you know, if we're going to be talking hockey, I got to give a shout out to the U.S. World National Junior Team for winning.
Yeah, they beat Canada.
Yep, that was a huge win. They were definitely favorites in that tournament, but Canada, I mean, that was insane. I can't believe they won that game. So huge shout out to them. But back to the NHL. You know, I think there's five big storylines that we're kind of talking about this year that I think you should kind of be looking for. And I think the first thing is really the entire kind of change of the divisions in kind of what's going on to the pandemic. And so I think it's just going to be this year thing, but they've got four new divisions. And what's going to be happening is you've got the North Division, you've got the Central Division, you've got the West Division, you've got the East Division. And each of those teams within those divisions are just going to be playing each other throughout the entire regular season, which is going to be wild. So you got teams that are going to be playing each other anywhere from like 8 to 10 times, which is something unprecedented. We've never seen anything like that. And so I think, and you know, a lot of the teams that are in those same divisions together are huge rivals. So you're going to see these rivalries get renewed on a level that I don't think's ever been seen, which is going to be wild. So if you're just a casual fan, I think watching hockey games this year is going to be wild, because I think there's going to be a lot more fighting, a lot more animosity going on, which I know is huge. You know, anybody who loves to watch hockey, that's awesome. So yeah, that's definitely one of the big things. I think the second thing is that the season is just going to be condensed from that 82 game season to a 56 game season, which is kind of wild, because for the first time ever, there's legitimately going to be a game played every single day from the start of tomorrow to May 8th, the end of the season.
That's pretty cool.
That's going to be kind of That's going to be kind of insane. There's going to be hockey on every night, which is awesome for the hardcore hockey fan. And I think what you're going to see with regards to that is, you know, what teams can kind of keep up. You know, you see these lulls throughout the season, through a normal 82 game season, and with that many games, I think you can kind of go through those lulls and still have a chance to be competitive in the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. I think that with the shortened season and with so many games being played, I think you're going to see teams who are going to go on these long lulls like they usually do. And they might be, and that might drop them out of the playoff conversation completely, which is going to be kind of insane to watch. So I think it's going to be a game of consistency this year more than anything else, which kind of brings in the next point, which is goaltending. You know, one of the most important positions in hockey. Man, it was a carousel this year in the offseason, which was super wild. You had goalies like Braden Holtby, who, you know, the star of the Capitals, he left, he got moved. And then you talk about other goalies like Corey Crawford, Blackhawks Tendy, who ended up retiring after getting moved. And so that's going to be kind of insane to see. Your Rangers, they have two rookie goaltenders who are going to be coming in this year.
And yes, Georgiev. What's his name?
Yeah, Georgiev.
That's him.
Yeah, which is going to be pretty wild in itself. And so I think that you look at what's going to go on with the goaltending and all that kind of just in itself as well. Because I think what you have to do when you're looking in certain situations like that with regards to those hockey teams is because we were talking about consistency a little bit earlier, you know, are these goalies going to be able to stay consistent? And with a bunch of these rookie goalies coming in, are they going to be able to stay consistent throughout the entire season? And I think that was one of the big things, especially with regards to the Rangers, Rick, is not only do they have two rookie goalies, two super young goalies, but, you know, they've got a lot of young talent coming in this year. And so are they going to be able to stay consistent? I mean, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild to kind of watch all that
stuff. Let me ask you this. With the condensed season, would it help a team like the Rangers? They're younger legs, right? Younger, fresher legs, not much experience, but they have that youth. Is that going to help them?
You know – I would say no, you know, because I think having that veteran presence in the locker room to kind of push you through those lulls that the teams are going to go through is going to be super important. And I think that's why a lot of the teams that you're going to see at the end of the season who are still competing at a high level are going to be the teams who do have that veteran presence in the locker room.
So it'll be like the Islanders and Tampa Bay and the Blues and teams like that.
Yep, I think Boston, again, is going to have a great year. I think St. Louis is going to have a great year. They just have a lot of veterans in their locker room. And they all have a steady goaltending core, too, which I think is huge.
Now, Tanner, let me ask you this. I just read this, that 27 players tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect the games? I mean, if you're going to have this schedule that's going to be back-to-back-to-back, I mean, do they have contingency plans set up for that?
Yeah, well, and that's going to be super interesting, too. I had read, those 27 players, 17 of them, I guess, were on the Dallas Stars alone, which is kind of
wow.
Yeah, but You know, I think it's going to be a lot like what's going on in the NBA. You know, you don't have a lot of players on the bench. Like in the NFL, you got a lot of players who are on the bench. You got a lot of players who are on the sideline. Just like the NBA, you know, you don't have a lot of players that you can call up at just a assigned notice. And so I think you're going to see teams who are going to be playing games with, you know, like 11, you know, 10 players, which is going to be kind of wild. If that even can occur, I don't even know if they're going to be able to do that in a game of hockey. I have no idea. But I think – what I think the entire thing that they've been doing with these new divisions and them playing each other very often, I think that the NHL is going to have the best chance of keeping as many games on the schedule as possible. And I think another thing with these new divisions that they decided to do was that they're playing all those teams within the division, so they're not traveling far anyways. And a lot of these games, they're going to play, they're going to be played consecutively. You know, you'll have like, you know, you'll have like the Blackhawks and like the Blues playing each other, and it's going to be – they're going to play each other like four or five times consecutively. Okay. And so they don't have to travel much. And so that's one of the really important things that I think are going to help with the pandemic and help with those COVID outbreaks. But I think it's just going to be like basketball. You're going to have games that are going to be canceled. And, you know, are they going to get rescheduled? I don't know, especially with a condensed season where they're already going to be playing almost, you know, not every team every day, but there's going to be a lot of games that are going to be played in a short amount of time. So – I'm not sure. I don't know what's going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
So interesting.
I'm sorry, Mike. I read this. So Bettman was saying, he's talking to the owners, that this it would be better to shut the doors and not play. Is it possible that – but Bettman says they're going to play. But is it possible that this season might just like – just playing might just like cripple the league? Is that a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I think it's a possibility, you know – I think that could have happened with any league, though. You know, I remember at the beginning of the NFL season, they were kind of talking about the same thing. Is this something that's good for the league with how many players opted out? Same thing, you know, with college football. How many players opted out? You know, how many teams opted out of the of the entire season together? And, you know, was that a good look for the league? Was that a good look for the teams? You know, I think I look at the bigger picture and I look at, you know, the fact that those guys, that's what they love to do. That's what they get paid to do. And I think that it's, I think it should, and that's what I've loved about every sport is every league has given the players the opportunity to opt out if they want to.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it should be. I do. I think that you should have the personal, option, you know, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, then I think that, you should have the absolute option to opt out with it having no negative effects on your contract status or anything.
Yeah.
And so I think when you look at it in that sense, I think it shines a good light on every league, but on the National Hockey League too. And I think that the way they've set it up to try to be as safe as possible is also something really good to look at. But, you know, at the end of the day, so let's say that, you know, with the NHL being, you know, the last league to kind of open up, let's say that it does blow up in their face. You know, let's say that they have to cancel a quarter of the games, you know, in the season or something because of all these COVID outbreaks. That could be a bad look. That could be a bad look.
And but let me ask you, can they withstand the financial hit? That's what I'm saying. Like, can they withstand it financially, like losing all this money? I'm going to talk billions of dollars. Can the league
literally billions of dollars. Yeah, no, honestly, I don't think so. You know, I don't think that they can. And that's, I think, partially why every league, including hockey, has decided to go forward is because I just think that the amount of money that they would lose would be overwhelming, especially for each individual team. You know, they're already losing a mass amount of ticket sales. And so you're looking at not only that, but then you got, if you're going to take the entire season away, then you're going to be losing all those endorsement deals for all those players. And there's just a lot of things that goes into it that I think is just so much more than just the simple fact of like, oh, okay, we're going to bag this season, you know, because I think it's the right thing to do. I think that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I'm happy. I'm honestly happy that every league has decided to try and go with the season, and I'm happy that they're doing it safely. And it seems so far that it's been working out, and every league so far has been able to finish. So I'm hoping that the NHL will be able to do the same.
Yeah. Well, NFL has a couple more weeks that they got to get through.
True. Well, I don't think that's too early.
Let's knock on wood. You know,
let's make sure
they can get through those. I mean, you know, we talked about it just the other day, last week. You know, how they should have a Super Bowl bubble. Like, everyone should go to Tampa, you know.
Yeah.
By the time those championship games are over, they ain't no, you know, partying and whatnot. Like, just go to Tampa, you know, stay in your little bubble. Yeah. And just be ready for that game. You got 2 weeks to prepare. There should be no excuses at that point. But I heard that, you know, you were talking about, you know, revenue loss with the tickets and stuff. So the NHL's doing a little NASCAR on ice this year, right? Like, where they're having some company sponsor like their jerseys and their helmets, right?
Yeah, which was, I thought, honestly, a great move, because I know there's a bunch of European programs that have been doing that for years. And that generates a ton of revenue. And I think that, it, you know, kind of to counterbalance the revenue loss from all those ticket sales, I think that was a great way to do it. I'm interested to see if it sticks. I probably will, you know.
Yeah, of course.
That's the way of
the future. They do it in the NBA.
And I almost guarantee it'll stick. And I thought that was a great way of doing it, for sure. I think that that's something that more leagues should honestly consider doing. I know that recently, right after the college football has ended, they're like seriously talking about, I guess, kind of giving players the ability to endorse themselves and make money, I guess. The NCAA is still slamming that, but more and more people are talking about it every year. So it's just interesting what's going on with regards to that and the company side of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're their own brand. So, like, if you could have people like Charlie D'Amelio on TikTok making $50,000 a second.
Right. And she's like,
why, you know, especially, you know, she dances and she gets, you know, and she gets likes. But these athletes have been playing this sport their whole lives, practicing their whole lives. Yeah. Why can't they make a couple of bucks just by plastering a company's logo on their helmet?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
But people like Charlie D'Amelio, 16 years old, making $50,000 a second.
Exactly.
Just, you know, she drinks Dunkin' Donuts and whatnot. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, more power to her. Obviously, you know,
America.
It's great.
That's great.
Great to see what she accomplished. But you know, you should give that opportunity to the people that are able to, you know, really benefit from it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, the amount of time that they've spent to get to that point in their lives and the amount of TV time that they get anyways, and the amount of, you know, the amount of times that their face is on social media and on mainstream networks. It's you should be able to monetize that. Absolutely. Everybody else is able to in any other aspect of life. So I agree.
All right. Tanner Johnson, our resident hockey expert, your predictions for the Stanley Cup Finals and winner, and give me some hope for my Rangers. I mean, break us down for some Rangers and some Islanders real quick as we get in here.
I'll do the Rangers and Isles first. So, the Rangers, they've been slumping pretty hard these last couple years. You know, we can't shy away with that fact. But I think, you know, and absolutely no disrespect to Henrik Lundqvist whatsoever. He's an outstanding goaltender, was for a long time, but he was getting old. You know, You got to have a steady backstop to make it far in the playoffs. You absolutely have to. I've been a believer in that since day one. And so I think that they've moved on with him, and they have two young goalies, which I think that is absolutely massive. Having two guys who are going to be able to kind of not only ride each other, but compete with each other. You know, I think that is going to be massive. And so, you know, I think the Rangers might be a sleeper this year. I really do.
There we go.
I do. I think they might be. I think they might have the offensive talent as well. So I think that if their goaltending can stand up and their offensive talent can show up and they can stay consistent, I do. I think that they're going to be pretty decent. And the Isles, same thing. They've got Varlamov, who played amazing last year for them. And so they've got a great starting goaltender. They've got another young goaltender who a lot of NHL analysts have been saying, watch him too. So they've got two good goalies, which is awesome. And they have a lot of offensive firepower too. So they had made a decent playoff run last year. So I think that overall, I think both teams honestly might be sleepers this year. And I think they could actually go pretty far if they stay consistent and they're able to. I've always been a firm believer that if you're able to run into the playoffs hot, and you'll stay hot through the playoffs. In hockey, I don't know why that is, but I've always been a firm believer of that. So I think that if those two teams can, at the end of the year, kind of show up and make a run for it. Who knows? That's what I love about hockey. You never know. Like, it's wild. So,
and your final predictions?
As far as predictions go, you know, I wouldn't say that the Isles and the Rangers are in those, but I think it's gonna be interesting. You know, you got the powerhouses. I think the Lightning are going to be unreal again, which is frustrating to say, but they really didn't lose anybody. And they've got, you know, they've got a lot of young talent. They've got good goaltending. I think that you could definitely say that Tampa Bay will be in it. I think that Boston will be another great team this year. Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the Capitals do. They've got a young goaltender who's coming in now that Holtby has been moved. They just brought over Chara to kind of bolster their defense a little bit, if it's going to. He's pretty old.
Yeah. Daniel Chara, what is he, like his 40s or something?
Yeah, I mean, he's old, but he's still playing, I guess. I don't know. He's been doing decent. You know, and they still got Ovechkin, who – is he going to catch Wayne Gretzky? That's another wild conversation that we could have. I mean, who knows? I was watching today that – there's a lot of analysts who think that he honestly might. So that could be wild. I think he's going to have another great year, another great scoring year. So Capitals. And then, you know, the old resident Colorado Avalanche, multiple sources saying that they are supposed to be the favorite to win the cup this year. And that's not even me being biased. So I don't want to bring him up too much so I can talk about him now.
That's all right. No big deal.
Yeah, but they've got the offensive firepower. They've got probably one of the best forwards tandems in the league. I would say arguably they have the best player in the league in McKinnon. And so I think with regards to that, they're going to be scoring goals as following any team in the league. I think, honestly, their only question mark is going to be their goaltending, which scares me. That was their question mark last year, and I think that's what killed them. And I don't know why they didn't make any moves over the offseason. That was kind of questionable to me, but yeah, I think Colorado is going to be out of the West, definitely one of the top teams. And then I think St. Louis out of the West too. I think that they have a really good chance of making a pretty far in the playoffs too. So I think it's going to be a really competitive league. I really do. I think it's going to be a fun year to watch. I think it really is.
Yeah. I need to pay attention a lot more.
Yeah. Year. Yeah. I'll be watching some Rangers hockey.
Oh, for sure. And it's a great year to do it. Like I said, there's going to be some serious stuff, I think, getting fired up with how many games are going to be played against the same teams.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I definitely need to make it a point to watch a little bit more, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Tanner, our resident NHL expert.
NHL hockey analyst, Tanner Johnson.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you very much for your take on this season. And, you know, we will certainly pick your brain more as the season goes along.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys.
All right. Thank you, Tanner.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy tomorrow's games, Tanner.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Well, listen, it gave me some hope for my Rangers. We'll see. I mean, we didn't even talk about Lafreniere, but whatever. That's all right. No big deal. We'll worry about Lafreniere.
Yeah. It's gonna be a long season. You know, we'll wait and see how he plays, and then we can.
So we have a lot of storylines coming out of Super Wild Card Weekend and the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to begin with the firing of Doug Peterson in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I think, and as you read the reports out there, he just got tired of being told what to do. I think also he lost that locker room with what he did at the end of the game.
Oh, wow.
I think that stink doesn't leave you, man. I mean, you just can't go tanking games when guys are busting their ass out there. I think that didn't work out well. And I think the fracture with Carson Wentz didn't help him. And, you know, just some things that can't be repaired there, and they just parted ways. And so we'll see who's going to coach that team, but it's interesting what's going on in Philadelphia.
There was some satire posts today on social media saying
that. Adam NFL Gase, memes, man.
Adam Gase is in the building for the Philadelphia.
No, he's not.
Coaching job. No, it was all fake.
Oh, okay.
It was all fake, but it was just—it was hilarious. I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. Yeah. But yes, Doug Peterson let go. Brian Schottenheimer no longer with the Seahawks after, you know, pretty much an abysmal showing against the Rams.
Yeah.
This past week. I mean, you know, credit to the Rams defense, of course, but
I don't know if you can blame him for that, man. I mean,
it's a lot of, you know, friction between him and Pete Carroll, supposedly. So, you know, maybe Brian Schottenheimer stole some Pete Carroll's gum. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you can't, every play can't be, you know, DK Metcalf run 30, you know, bomb. Yeah, that's, you got to mix it up a little bit. As far as the Jet search, coaching search goes, Robert Saleh is in the building today for his second interview. He is the front runner. You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I'm sold on this one. I mean, the enemy's still out there. I'm not a big Brian Daboll. I don't want a Peterson. I don't want the one. And we talked about this today. Aaron Glenn, the DB coach for the Saints. Aaron Glenn was a corner for the Jets in the 90s. He was a top corner for the Jets, drafted out of Texas A&M. I remember watching him young. I think for me, you need somebody in here with some presence who could have a feel for New York. And I think Aaron Glenn would be perfect for that. He knows in New York. He knows the New York market. He played here. He was on the field for the fake spike game when Marino hit, you know, was it Mark Duper? Or was it Clayton maybe or whoever it was for the touchdown there? So so he knows what this kind of environment is.
So he was on the field when they lost.
Yes, he was on the field.
So how does – So that's kind of like at the Adam Gase.
We hired Adam Gase because
the Dolphins were good against the Jets.
Hold on one second. Aaron Glenn is a good coach. All right, I would let him coach organized football. We're not
but Adam don't Gase say coach. he's a good choice because he was on the field when he got beat by a fake strike.
You're not getting it. What I'm saying is he knows this market. Like he knows the environment, the New York press, and he can handle that. And I think you need somebody who can handle that. Gase never got along with people. He rubbed people the wrong way. It was just bad. I think Aaron Glenn, knowing New York, would be a perfect fit here. But we'll wait and see, right? They interviewed Joe Brady, too young. So, I mean, right now, Saleh's in the lead, but there are other choices out there. So, yeah, you know, wait and see. You know,
yeah. I mean, hopefully, when do you think a decision gets made? You know,
I think in the next week, man. I think Joe Douglas kind of wants to nip this in the bud and get started.
Yeah,
getting a roster together, and then you know we get to the NFL draft, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, it's going to depend on who the head coach is. However, you know, are we going to keep Darnold? Are we going to go with Justin Fields? Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who tuned in last night, you know, I was watching. I don't really watch college football too often, but I did, you know, catch the game. Yeah. And, you know, obviously I heard about, you know, the Heisman and Devonta Smith. And, I really think that they need some kind of a game changer like Devonta Smith. My opinion. And if the Jaguars go and scoop up Smith, which I highly doubt anyway, because they're going to go Lawrence. But if it's either Lawrence or Smith, I mean, whoever falls to us. But
well, here's the thing. Obviously, the Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
And then with the second pick, if you're the Jets, you either you're going to pick quarterback there. So it's Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields was hurt yesterday from that hit that he took against Clemson last week. So. I think he was banged up, so I don't want, you know, one performance. I don't want that to ruin him. But do you take Justin Fields at two? Do you take Zach Wilson at two? Do you take Devonta Smith, who right now is, I don't know how you pass up on that. Or do you move back to, let's say, four, get a couple of more picks, and then make your selection there? I don't know. It's that pick right now is so valuable. I don't know what you do. If I'm with you though, I think eventually the Jets need people to throw the ball to, and they need to compliment Denzel Mims. So I would take Smith at that second pick.
Well, see, of course I'm not sold that Darnold's the guy. I mean, but with a new head coach and a nice weapon to add to that, you know, to that offense.
Yeah.
You're going to give Darnold a fighting chance at the very least.
Exactly. So and you can't miss somebody who's wide open all the time, you know?
Because you're not going to win it this year. No matter what quarterback you're going to get, nothing's going to happen this year with the Jets. They'll win more games.
Yeah, they're going to be a much better team. They'll be a much better team.
But they're not going to make it to the playoffs. I definitely don't see that happening. I think you go with for Smith and you give Darnold another year with a new coaching regime. And, hopefully, Joe Douglas can, bolster that offensive line just a little bit. Just give him who was it? Ty Johnson. Maybe give him a shot.
Yeah, let him play.
P. Ryan was hurt for the last few weeks of the season, but he's still a young talent that we can utilize. Frank Gore is obviously out the pasture.
yeah. at this point. But I think you have to at least give Darnold a shot. If you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, get the playmaker. Get the playmaker that could change the league. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And also this Ohio State quarterback talk, you know, kind of sold on that, you know, like what quarterbacks have actually been successful that came out of Ohio State?
That's another concern, you know. That's another concern. But I think this draft is going to be fascinating. You know, with the first three or four picks, you know, obviously, after the first pick, I mean, that's where the drama really starts. You know, what happens with the Jets at two, Miami's at three.
Miami's going to draft Smith if we don't.
That's the thing.
Do you want that, or do you want to take a shot on an Ohio State quarterback, or even the, you know, the Zach Wilson kid? You know, is that really going to change? Is that going to change the game for the Jets? You know, what's going to be a bigger impact? A playmaker like that? And I get it. A lot of people are like, oh, it's a lot of gadget plays. But you know what? Look at Tyreek Hill, you know, and look at, you know, he's Patrick Mahomes, you know, main target. Yeah. So, you know, obviously those gadget players, you know, they work. I think you take the shot for Smith.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. I think Smith goes three. But here's the thing. If I'm the Jets, I keep an eye on what's going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson. I keep an eye out on that.
It's going to take a lot to make that happen.
Jets have a lot. I mean, they have a lot of draft capital. I mean, you don't want to give up the farm either. But you got a guy who's unhappy, who wants – he wants to actually go to Miami. And that's another thing you got to keep up. I mean,
if they want our number two pick and Sam Darnold, I would do it. But other than that, I wouldn't.
Yeah, but here's the thing with the Dolphins at three. Are the Dolphins sold on Tua? I mean, I think the jury's still out on that. I don't know that they're sold on him. And so if you have a shot, if you're the Dolphins, to trade for Deshaun Watson, I mean, and then Houston gets that pick back because that was their pick, and then you take your quarterback, Justin Fields, or whoever you want. I mean, it's going to be an incredible draft. I can't wait to watch it.
I don't know how you could give up on Tua that quickly. You know, I mean, he played in what, 6-7 games?
Yeah.
He had no preseason.
Okay.
You know, I think it's way too early to speculate on.
I mean, you had Fitzpatrick come in and save him a couple times. I don't know, man.
Nobody expected the Dolphins to even get to where they even got this year.
Right. Well, no, okay. But they were up and coming. I mean, Brian Flores is a good coach. Guy's a real good coach. They have a stout defense. So, you know, wait and see. But it's going to be interesting what Miami does with Tua down there. I can't wait to see this draft.
So say no trades are done for Watson, right? And
okay.
the Jets pick up Smith. Do you think that the Dolphins would pick up Fields or
no,
Wilson?
I don't think that. I think no.
They would just stick with Tua only if it was Watson.
Yeah, or I think the Dolphins trade out of three. They move down, get a couple more picks. And because they're going to be teams that need quarterbacks. Washington needs a quarterback. I think Atlanta needs a quarterback. Carolina might need a quarterback, right? So there's going to be some teams that need quarterback. Philadelphia might need a quarterback. Chicago needs a quarterback. Like, there's some teams that need quarterbacks out there. And those, you know, they're going to be willing to give up some serious draft capital to move up. So I think, you know, depending on what the Jets do at two, whether they stay or go, I think three is going to be fascinating. And I think there's a good chance that either Miami – moves out of three, or you know, somehow there's a trade for Deshaun Watson in there, and you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's good. I'm telling you, man, this is gonna be a fun draft to watch.
Yeah, and then it certainly will be. And you know, well, we got a couple.
I think the 22nd pick is that what we have? The 22nd pick,
is that what it is? Is the Seahawks?
I think so. Yeah, if that other running back from Alabama's there. Take that guy too.
Oh, like, Najee.
Yeah,
Najee Harris.
I think. Take him too.
He was nice last night too.
So you know, you get Devontae Smith and you got Najee Harris, man. All of a sudden, man, let's go. Now Sam can't say he has no weapons. I don't want to hear that Sam has no weapons stuff.
Yeah, no. Damn. I mean, that would be nice. But I really do think, you know, Smith is the way to go.
Okay.
You know, we will see. I mean, we're not the decision makers, and
no,
obviously that Watson thing could, you know, could loom,
yeah,
loom out there, and it's also going to depend on the head coach too. So
yeah,
because a long ways to go.
That's why I'm a little worried about Saleh, because if it's Robert Saleh, is he going to be more of the conservative?
But if it's Bieniemy, I think that there's a chance for Smith.
Yeah. No, if it's Bieniemy, if it's Bieniemy, I think there might be a chance for Fields getting drafted there.
Why?
Because I don't know
the importance of Tyreek Hill.
No, I know that, but I think Bieniemy, I don't know that Bieniemy sold on Darnold, right? So I don't know that he sold. I don't know if they sold on Darnold, yeah. And I think Bieniemy would want to come in. He'll want to come in with a new offense and his guy and do it his way.
Isn't there a quarterback that's like, you know, a little farther in the first that has some
Zach Wilson, the kid out of Alabama, whatever his name is yesterday, he was throwing rockets all over the field.
Mac Jones.
Man, listen, if you're the Jets and you get Devontae
Smith, can you go? Yeah, can you go Devontae Smith and Mac Jones?
And Mac Jones at 22. There might be a possibility there. I mean, that kid has a rocket for an arm, man. He's throwing dimes all over the place.
You got the chemistry. Hey, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you can try to land both of them.
And then trade Darnold for a 2 and a 5 or something. I mean, get something for him.
Yeah.
But clearly the Jets need weapons on that side of the ball.
Send Darnold over to Pittsburgh.
And well, two things. Obviously, the Jets are going to – that 2 pick is going to be fascinating. And teams will be looking to trade into that top 2-1, you know, that 2-3 or – well, see, Cincinnati's not going to go there because they want Penny Sewell. They need help on that offensive line. But 2 and 3 are prime picks, especially 2. But I don't know that if you're the Jets, and I'm with you, that you get out of 2 and give up Devontae Smith. I really don't.
Unless
you say I'm taking Justin Fields, or I'm gonna stick with Darnold, take Penny Sewell, and I'm gonna trade for OBJ.
OBJ,
yeah, because Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah. Clearly, so instead of Smith, you're picking.
Yeah.
And bringing Beckham back to New York.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or if you're the Jets, draft Smith, trade for OBJ, draft Najee Harris, and all of a sudden, you are an offensive team, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Darnold doesn't really mean anything at that point.
Yeah, then
you can't make it all bad to gadget plays all over the place.
You know, the only concern is who's getting the ball and all that stuff. But I mean, the Jets got to get creative here, man. I mean, there's talent out there; they can make some moves.
Herndon needs to like step it up because, like, you know, this guy was supposed to be something, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, he did pretty good towards the end of the season when we didn't want him to.
When he didn't want to play. I mean, when nobody else was playing, he woke up.
But you know, it's certainly going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all going to start with who we have leading the ship.
Leading the ship.
And you know, I mean, obviously, no matter what happens, you know, I don't see them going any more than 7 or 8 wins at the best.
Listen, it's better than 2.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's better than 2. Yeah.
Actually, 0 would have been better than 2.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, let's not get into that. But
yeah, I think we've rambled on enough tonight.
Yes. We've talked enough NFL draft tonight.
Yeah. So we
quickly, my Knicks, they've lost 3 in a row. They can't shoot right now. RJ is building houses on rims, needs to get it together.
Yeah.
We need another score. We got to find somebody to score. So that's just that's that on the Knicks.
In due time, my friend. In due time. I mean, you've waited a long time. You can wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But you know, you had that, you know, the Knicks and amazing in the same sentence. So that's, you know, that's a nice sign.
Yeah.
Farther than you've gotten for a while. Last now.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah. It's, speaking of amazing, real quick, Mickey Callaway, the Mets ex-skipper,
yeah,
he said that Carlos Carrasco has number one ace material, as in, like, he could, you know, he has the material to even, you know, be better than DeGrom. So, hey, I mean,
hey, all right, let's.
And he was a pitching coach, but I'm not saying he's gonna, but it's good.
Guys won two Cy Youngs.
But it's good to know that we have somebody that, you know, that could have that kind of ability.
Listen, this was a great week for you. Francisco Lindor's here.
Yeah.
Carlos Carrasco's here. They're talking George Springer. This is a good week.
And Chris Bryant.
And Chris Bryant. There's talks about that. This is a good week if you're a Met fan. This is what the Met fan wanted. An owner who's active, who's aggressive, who wants to put a winning product on the field.
And he's thinking about bringing back the black jerseys.
All right. I'm not a big fan of that.
I love the black jerseys.
Dude, no, I'm not. No, not at all. Not when it's 97 degrees and the humidity is at 100%.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing. But I, you know, listen, hey, I feel for the human beings out there. Jesus.
Nah, I love the black jerseys. They're cool. And yeah. They do play them in the morning.
Yeah.
They do wear them in the afternoon.
But if you're a Met fan, seriously, Mike, this has been a good week for you.
Been a good week.
You know, because this doesn't happen if the Wilpons are on the team. I don't even think I don't know that if the Mets are this aggressive, if A-Rod and J-Lo are on the team. I don't know that they have the cash to do this kind of move, but good for A-Rod, the Mets.
A-Rod came out afterwards and said that it was just a business deal. Like he wanted it for the brand name. And the brand recognition, and then he was going to sit there, and all of his focus was going to be on developing the area around it, and he was just going to use the Mets as that money grabber, and try and make money off of the name.
And the Met fans saw that, and the New Yorker saw that.
We got the right guy.
MLB saw that, and they got the right guy. So kudos to the Mets fans.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so got another great show store for you on Thursday night. Until then, enjoy the beginning of the NHL season tomorrow.
And we want to thank our guest tonight, Sam Rodriguez, and our resident NFL NHL analyst, Tanner Johnson.
Tanner Johnson.
Yeah.
So until Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, good night, everybody. And we will see you then.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
As always, word from our sponsor as we sign off.
Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do. For friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests. Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.